We're turning once again to the book of Matthew, and Matthew's in chapter 11. And we'll read from verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. We thank the Lord again for the reading of his word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our eternal Father, we come before thee once again this day, and we pray, Lord, that thou wast draw nigh to us as we contemplate the words of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that these words might touch our own hearts, and we pray, gracious God, that thou wast use them for thy glory. We thank thee, our heavenly Father, for the opportunity that we have to preach the word. We pray, our gracious Father, that thou wouldst minister to many, and that souls might be saved, and that the blessing of the Lord would be upon us. Hear us, we ask thee, in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. We ask it in that name. Amen. I want to consider these words. Last time we considered the potter's vessel, if you remember, going down to the potter's house, and we linked it to these verses. But nevertheless, I did say last Lord's Day we might come back and consider this as well. And so that's what we want to do today, to consider how the Lord Jesus then in verse 20 began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Most of his mighty works were done in these places, and yet they repented not. It's a strange thing, isn't it? And there are many mighty works even done in these days, it seems, and people focus in on the mighty works. They like to see mighty works. So they flock to the Pentecostal churches where it seems mighty works are done, that they might look upon them and might even benefit somewhat from them. But the Lord Jesus, in all of his mighty works, did those mighty works in these cities, and yet the people repented not, because the mighty works do not save souls. It is the mighty words of which the Lord is pleased to use to save souls. And the mighty words say, Come out from among them and be ye separate. And those who we might see in these cities were to do just that. And so I want to consider this under the three headings that we would usually use. The woe to the cities, first of all. The works in the cities, secondly. And the whys of the cities, thirdly. First of all then, the woe to the cities. We note that the Lord uses particular places to demonstrate or to contrast with these cities which he has preached in. So Chorazin and Bethsaida up toward the north are actually north of the Sea of Galilee. And those places are hard to find these days, but there are those archaeologists which have found particular places which they reckon to be these cities, and they were in fairly close proximity one to another. But Chorazin and Bethsaida are therefore likened unto Tyre and Sidon. Again, two cities which were fairly close to each other, Tyre being in Lebanon, Sidon also, but Tyre being toward the south and Sidon north of it. And these two places are linked then to Chorazin and Bethsaida. So the Lord uses this comparison. And then he links Capernaum with Sodom, which seems a great difference, because Capernaum, of course, was there in, again, around the Sea of Galilee. It was a place in Israel, but Sodom had been a heathen place, and a place indeed which the Lord had destroyed. It seems that that is a very harsh connection which the Lord makes there. But even the very words which he uses for Capernaum, which he says, which are exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. Exalted to heaven, brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. So these are the comparisons which the Lord draws. When we consider those comparisons, when we ask the question, well, why these? Why these particular cities? Well, we could say Chorazin, Bethsaida, fit in with Tyre and Sidon, which always seem to come together as a couplet whenever you come across them in the scripture. But not always, but they are often spoken of together, and always the same way round too. Very seldom do we hear the word Sidon and Tyre. Nearly always it is Tyre and Sidon. And so we could say, well, that's the link. Chorazin and Bethsaida, Tyre and Sidon, that would link quite easily. They're two cities and two cities. But perhaps there's something more to those contacts which is in the Lord's mind, and which brings them particularly to mind. And when we think of these contacts which the cities had with the Lord, again, we can see that there are certain things which we can say about the cities of which he mentions here, Tyre and Sidon. First of all, we know that Elijah went up to that vicinity. He went up to where Jezebel had come from, and he went up to Zarephath, which was up there in those cities, and that he was kept there. The Lord provided for him in that place. So they had a contact with Israel, and they had a contact indeed with one of the great prophets. In fact, we could say even the prophet of which the Lord Jesus speaks here, John the Baptist. We know that the Lord Jesus says that if you can receive it, this is Elias, verse 14, which was for to come. And there is a connection then between all of these things, John the Baptist, Elias, Tyre and Sidon, up toward the north in Lebanon. And here we see how that the Lord had contacted them in the past. But when we consider what Elijah was there, he was an individual, he was in a particular house. How much he was known by those round about, we cannot tell. But what the Lord's point here is that if they had seen what Chorazin and Bethsaida had seen, if they had had that much of a revelation, they would have repented. But of course, Elijah was just with that one woman and her son. And then we can think of Sodom and Gomorrah and see the contacts there. Well, of course, in Sodom there was the righteous Lot. He dwelt there amongst the people. We are told, and that's why we read it from 2 Peter chapter 2, that Lot was just. That he was just. We read the words, and delivered just Lot, which could easily be read across very quickly and thinking, well, the Lord delivered only Lot. The word there is the word just, as in justice. Here is a man who is righteous, the righteous Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot, of course, had a connection as well with the Lord and with Abraham. And although Lot was not the one which the Lord had chosen, Abraham was the chosen one there, yet nevertheless he had seen the mighty works of God. He had seen the power of God. He had seen the deliverance of God. And he himself knew the Lord, it would seem, from this. I know that some commentators have said in the past that if it wasn't for these writings of Peter, we would think that Lot was not a man who knew the Lord at all, because of the way that he went down into Sodom and dwelt amongst them. But we're in a similar situation, aren't we, really? And where would we go in these days? We are in the midst of so much uncleanness, it surrounds us. We are kind of in the mire in these days, and yet it vexes our souls and is quite depressing in so many ways. So the righteous Lot is their contact. And then we consider also in this woe to the cities of the calamities that befell Sidon and Tyre and Sodom. First of all, Sidon and Tyre, well, they were both of them overtaken. Nebuchadnezzar overtook Sidon, and we know that Tyre was also destroyed by Alexander the Great. There are prophecies concerning these things. Ezekiel 26 and verse 2, we read, Son of man, because that Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me, I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. So there was a calamity which came upon Tyre, and also against Sidon. The Lord had prophesied that they would be taken and be destroyed. So Nebuchadnezzar came and fought against Sidon and took it. Never did take Tyre, because Tyre was a very tiny island just off the coast. And so they were able to resist. But in the days of Alexander the Great, when he came into the land, he was determined to take Tyre. Sidon capitulated to Alexander. Tyre held out and said, No, you are not allowed to come into the gates of our city on this island. But Alexander had his men build a way across, so that they would take stones and rubble and the like and cast it into the sea, and they kept on building a causeway out to where Tyre was. And in fact, if you see it today, it's even bigger, and there are actually houses and dwellings built upon that causeway, which was begun by Alexander the Great. And so they went out and they fought against Tyre, and they took Tyre, and they killed or put into slavery all those who were inside. And so the judgment of God came upon it. And there were calamities to those cities. And that's something which we need to keep in mind, that no matter how strong we think we might be, we are defeatable if we are on the wrong side of the Almighty. So the Lord is speaking here to these cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and he is saying, beware, Tyre and Sidon were destroyed. Tyre and Sidon had very limited connection with the gospel, with any knowledge of the things of God. They were destroyed, but you have had so much connection. You have been so blessed, and yet it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment. There's another day of judgment coming, a greater day, greater than Alexander the Great, greater than Nebuchadnezzar, who came in and took the land, greater than the judgments of this world which can come upon us, a judgment which will be before the God of heaven. When that day comes, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than it will be for you who have rejected the gospel. And then, of course, we think of Sodom. Well, we know, of course, the calamity which fell upon Sodom, which was destroyed with fire and brimstone, and is no more to be found anywhere upon the earth. Destroyed, wiped out, and gone. So the calamities which came to these cities. And when we see the words of the Lord Jesus, they're quite powerful words, in fact, even to Chorazin and Bethsaida. Woe! Unto thee, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. He doesn't connect them together like Tyre and Sidon. He doesn't say, woe unto thee, Chorazin and Bethsaida, but he gives them a woe each, and he speaks of them because they have not repented. Tyre and Sidon would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So we want to go on to consider the works in the cities. There was a miraculous provision, of course, when we go back to Zarephath. In 1 Kings 17 and verse 9, we read concerning Elijah, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And so we know, I'm sure, the story of Elijah, how that he went up toward the north in the days of Ahab, that he was to go and find a woman who was collecting sticks that she might cook the last of her meal and the last of her oil for herself and her son, and then afterward they would starve to death. And how Elijah said, "Well, give me some first." And she did so. And then the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal lasted throughout the whole of the time that was left of those 3.5 years of famine. And Elijah and the widow were kept, and her son also. Strangely enough, is it strange? I don't know. Here, when we consider these places, we find that there was a similar thing done in Bethsaida. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 10, if you want to turn to it, it's a few verses there. Luke chapter 9 and from verse 10. We read, "And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida." It's quite interesting, actually, in the words which have been used and filled in. In fact, in 1 Kings 17:9, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon." And this is a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. "And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people, for they were about 5,000 men. Is there a significance here in the fact that when Elijah went up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, he was kept there for those number of years and months by the Lord, causing the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal to last, that it was there each day, that they could continue, she could continue to make a cake for all of them that they might eat? Is it not significant that here in this place, a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida, that the people were to sit down and the Lord took just the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the 5,000 who were there, the 5,000 men, besides, we suppose, women and children who would have been there as well. That these two things, these miracles were done. Of course, in this miraculous provision in Zidon, it was just within this tiny household. There is one woman who is selected and her child. And it is the Lord who causes that barrel of meal and that cruse of oil to last for that time for her and her son and for the prophet. Here there are 5,000 people. Here it is so much more glorious, so much more spoken about and seen amongst the people. And yet, even though that has happened, in that place belonging to the city called Bethsaida, there is little or no repentance. I say unto you, the Lord says, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. You have seen great things. Mighty works have been done in you and around in your environs, and yet you have not repented. You have not understood. You have not turned. You have not turned from your sin and called upon the Lord. Tyre and Sidon, if these things have been done there, where this woman, a Gentile, notice once again, a Gentile, even though she heard and she responded and she was willing to give the last of her food to the prophet, and she saw it, yet the whole of the nation didn't see it. Had they seen it, they would have repented, the Lord says. But you are hardened of heart. Remember, of course, the Syrophoenician woman who also came down from the same area.
and sought the Lord for her daughter, and how the Lord at first said, it's not lawful to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. But she said, yes, but the little dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And the Lord healed her daughter there. She too was one who had come down to find the Lord and who believed. It seems over and over again the Lord is making this very plain to the people of Israel. The gospel is going to go to the Gentiles. You will not repent. You will not hear me. The gospel is going to the Gentiles, and they are hearing me. The Greeks come and seek him, and they come significantly to Philip. And Philip came from Bethsaida. And we'll come to consider that in a slight way in a moment or so. But the people were seeking him from other parts of the world, but the people in Israel itself were hardened of heart, and they would not receive him. And the Lord says, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. We know also that Hiram, the king of Tyre, in the days of David, sent cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David an house. And then also, sending to Solomon later on, Huram, the king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. You know, we see once again how that even Tyre, this king of Tyre, this small island, but a place where they crushed cells, and it took a lot of them. They were the place where the blue was produced, that went out, or the purple rather I should say, which went out. You remember Lydia, the seller of purple, and she sold purple, and purple was very expensive. It was because it took a lot of I can't remember what the name of the shell is. It begins with an M, but I've forgotten it now. But they took these shells and crushed them, and they needed an awful lot of shells to make a small amount of this purple to dye garments. And it was there, it came from Tyre. And the king of Tyre then sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Remember what the Lord Jesus says, a greater Solomon is here. And again there is a connection, because the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here, the king of Tyre, this woman, the queen of the south. They all come to help Solomon and to lend to him, or to give to him, or to sell to him, or to provide for him. But when the Lord Jesus, the very Lord of heaven, a greater than Solomon is there, the people have no interest. People have no interest. Again, we look at this nation and the blessings which it has seen, and the miraculous which it has seen in time past, and the freedoms that we still have today. And the very fact of where those freedoms came from, and the overcoming of things in this country, when we consider what has happened, then it's completely rejected as to where those things came from. Christianity is not considered. It is pushed aside. Individuals might sometimes be brought forward, but their connection to the Christian teaching, which they believed in and pressed forward, those things are not considered. And everything which has been done in this land is denigrated. And that which is bad and that which is wicked is raised to the fore. How sad it is that this nation, which has known so much of the blessing of God, has turned aside and has not repented. The Lord says, if the mighty things which have been done in thee, Bethsaida, Chorazin, have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented, but not you. You are too hard. And we see then this terrible situation which has come upon them. We think then of Sodom, and what did they see? When we consider Capernaum, thou, and the word thou is a pronoun which is set in there. It is put there particularly, thou, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell.
For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Of course, there were mighty works done in Sodom also. Remember how that the visitation of the angels in Sodom. The angels come down to the gate and the people reject the angels who are there. The angels blind them as they seek to find the door to get into Lot's house. And in this visitation they reject, of course. But here, when we consider Capernaum at which the Lord did the mightiest works, and yet still it had not repented, it had not turned. The visitation of angels in Sodom, but the visitation of Christ in Capernaum. The visitation of the very Son of God in Capernaum. And the gospel also was preached, the good news was preached, and the warning was preached. As Genesis 19:14, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. But when Christ comes, the Lord says, There is destruction coming. The judgment of the Lord is coming. Up, believe on me, and you will be saved. Up, come out from among them, and you will be saved. A visitation of Christ. And then also we could say concerning Sodom, concerning the march of the great patriarch Abraham. Remember how that Lot was taken in the days of Abraham, and how that the kings came and they fought against Sodom, and they took away Lot amongst all the rest of the goods and chattels of the country. And they carried them up north, and Abraham brought the servants who were brought up in his house and went after them. And how he brought them back, and how the king of Sodom met him in Genesis 14:16, and he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedar Laomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. The king of Sodom went out to meet him. And he must have known that Abraham was blessed of God. Surely it must be so that people would know who Abraham was in that time and in those days. Abraham was a mighty man. Abraham had all of those servants born in his own house, which he took into battle. Abraham had so much flocks and herds and so on that Lot, with his flocks and herds, couldn't dwell with him in the plains where they were. And so he must have been known. And when he comes and he delivers all of these back to the king of Sodom, yet there is no repentance there. But it is just a tiny part, a tiny thing in comparison with Christ coming into the midst of them, healing and doing many mighty works and preaching that the people need to repent and turn. A deliverance by a patriarch of the people. But the deliverance through Christ is eternal, and yet the people would not turn. How sad that is. How much we need to consider our own ways and to consider the world in the way that it is, and what we need to do to proclaim Jesus Christ, that the Lord might save some out of the midst. And then finally, the wise of the cities. Well, the wise of the cities, it seems to me, are those who did come out. In all of these cities, we find, of course, in Sodom, the wise of the city was pretty much Lot. His two daughters were taken by the hand, by the angels, and, of course, Lot's wife. But she turned. She was not wise. She would rather stay in the city and be destroyed than to escape. And Lot and his two daughters are taken by the hand, and they flee. They are the wise ones. They are the ones who survived here. And they did so by coming out from among them. We think then also of those who came out from Tyre and Sidon. Well, of course, there was the woman who Elijah went to. There was the Syrophoenician woman who departed from those coasts to find the Lord Jesus Christ and came down to them. There were others also in Luke chapter 16, 6,
And verse 17 we read, he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. Where did they come from? Well, they came out of Tyre and Sidon to seek Jesus Christ. And that is the need, isn't it? We need to come out of the world to seek Jesus Christ. Do we want to know the blessing of God? Do we want to know the salvation of God? Then we have to come out from among them. And we have to come to where Christ is. It's sad in these days, many people have no interest in entering into the house of God. They have no interest in hearing the word. They don't mind hearing some stories being told. And singing the songs even, the songs of Zion. But we know ourselves that singing some of these, if we were to be asked what the words are of these hymns, we don't know. And we can sing them. And quite often the problem for me is finding tunes that people know, because it is the tune that people remember. And the hymn itself, the words of the hymn, we can sing them without having the slightest notion of what it is we've just sung, because they're just written there before us. We just work through them. We don't really think about them. I often think it's a good thing to be able to sing a well-known hymn to a tune which perhaps in itself might be known, but not the tune which is associated with the hymn. Some different tune. A tune which makes you think about what you're singing rather than where the notes are going next. We can be carried away with music so easily. Even Saul, as we have seen in 1 Samuel, when he was down in the doldrums, was lifted up by the music. The music might be good, but the word is what we need. The wise came out of the cities. And as we have already said here, it was Philip who was of Bethsaida. In John 1 verse 44, it says there, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So again, here, these three disciples of the Lord, that's a quarter of the disciples, have come from Bethsaida. And what have they done? They have come out. They have come out to Bethsaida. We need to be able to withdraw ourselves from the ways of the world, the things of the world, and draw near to Christ. So important. The Lord is upbraiding these cities. He says, in that day of judgment, it will be far less tolerable. Let's turn the words around. Far less tolerable for thee than even Tyre and Sidon. Far less tolerable for thee than even Sodom in the day of judgment. Because you have not known the day of your visitation. We remember how the Lord Jesus wept also over Jerusalem. Use those very words, you have not known the day of your visitation. And we understood the day of visitation. And we understood that Jesus Christ has been in the midst of us, that he has called us, and that we are to go out to him and separate ourselves from the things of the world. There's just one other who came out that I could think of these cities, another case of wisdom. We read in Mark in chapter 8 and verse 22 of Jesus that he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and, note the words, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And remember how he said, I see men as trees walking. And here is a man who has been called out. And the Lord didn't take him back into the city, but he called him out of the city. We need to separate ourselves from the world. We need to be in the presence of the Lord. We need to seek him. We need to come to him where he is, instead of expecting him constantly to come to where we are. That's what the world desires. And we saw it, didn't we, in those words from verse 16. It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. And we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. That's what the world is like in these days. No, we'll accept Jesus if he does what we tell him. We'll accept Jesus if he fits in with us. But as soon as you start preaching what Jesus said, we don't want anything to do with that. We are going our own way. And we're quite happy to have him in the company. But remember, even the company, with Mary and Joseph, as they departed and went back to Galilee, Jesus wasn't with them in the company. Where was he? He was in his Father's house. We need to be in the Father's house. We need to be with Christ. We need to recognize that there is a destruction coming upon this world. We need to know that we are saved. Are you saved this day? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? He has done great things, wonderful things in this land. And the churches abound across this nation. Sadly, the people have departed from them. And the churches have closed. And the unrighteous and the wicked rejoice to see them closed, not knowing that the Lord takes away the righteous from the wrath which is to come, the judgment which comes upon the world. I think I'm right in saying, I did work on this many years ago and looked at it, but I think I'm right in saying that when the flood came upon the earth, of that line that we read of the begettings in the fourth chapter of Genesis, we come to the longest living one there who died 2 years before the flood. All the righteous who are mentioned in the scripture died before the flood came. There may have been others, of course. We don't know who was righteous and who was separated at that time, like the sheep from the goats, and some were taken to glory. We don't know that. But those who are written were all gone before the judgment came, apart from Noah, his three sons, and the four wives who were saved in the boat. And the Lord clears the way of his people to bring destruction. And the world rejoices. Well, we're glad to get rid of them Christians. We're glad to get rid of those who preach to us. They're quite happy to hear others preach to them, preaching unrighteousness. And from a atheistic point of view, who would say that all religions are man-made, therefore this new religion, which has been dubbed, I don't really like the word dubbed, but is used an awful lot these days, which has been dubbed wokeism, if religion is man-made, that's man-made, it's a religion, and it's being preached from every corner, and they expect us all to hear and to follow their way. But they won't follow Christ. Come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for the revelations which thy word gives. For the avenues that every text will take us to the places, to the connections, to the wise counsels. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst make us more and more students of the book. Lord, there are many who would gather themselves, teachers, having itching ears. But Lord, we will preach the book. We pray, Father, that thou wouldst help us to study it, to consider it, to draw from it food for our souls, even unto eternity. Bless us then, we ask thee. Continue with us and watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen.